Our next speaker tonight has come to us from Toronto with the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty. And we like to say in the Common Front that we are not the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty, but they do a lot of good things for us, so we like to have them nearby. Please welcome John Clark. Thank you very, very much. Before September the 11th, we would talk about the agenda that we were facing internationally and here in Ontario, and we would say very, very accurately that what had emerged was something from the corporate boardrooms being implemented by governments that sought to remove all the barriers to the making of profit and sought whatever the human cost to enrich those same corporations and turn back the clock in terms of social programs, in terms of union rights, environmental standards, and what have you. Since the downing of the Twin Towers on September the 11th, what we've seen, I think, is an intensification of that agenda to a degree that's astounding. The Bush administration has coined the expression "full spectrum dominance," which doesn't, I think, bode well, even if you don't understand the exact details. We're looking at a situation quite clearly where they are looking to take things further and faster than they dreamed possible a few months ago. And that does pose some enormous questions for us. Here in Ontario, let's not lose sight of the fact that in this situation, the Conservative government, we can no longer call it the Harris government in anticipation of its makeover, but the Tory government here really, I think, has not lost the implications of the ability to intensify the agenda. Harris immediately announced that he would set up a special elite police squad to look for and hunt down illegal immigrants in the province. He announced that he was going to speed up the momentum of the tax cuts to the wealthy. And his response to any economic downturn, and it emerges again in the last few days, is another round of up to $5 billion in social cuts. And those people who are aware of what has happened in the province of Ontario over the last number of years have to seriously ask themselves what is left to cut. And where can they possibly find $5 billion? But the same James Flaherty that was just being addressed a moment ago, and I regret to say he wasn't actually there at the time, or we could have thrown him out in the street. You can quote me on that. The same James Flaherty believes, who is the finance minister, believes that it is quite possible to find those $5 million, and I suspect he's probably right. Now, in this situation of incredible attack, we wrestle with it here in Ontario, but it's an international phenomenon. I think the thing that really dominates the situation is that while there is an attack on us going on of unimaginable proportions, there is at the same time a crisis of opposition that has beset all those movements that traditionally took a stand and fought back on behalf of working people and on behalf of oppressed populations with whatever limitations. And let me give you an example. I just talked about the $5 billion in cuts. The Ontario Federation of Labour is the umbrella body that represents the trade unions of this province. And lest anybody doubt, the trade unions have in their hands an incredible power, if it is used. But the word "if" is a very big word. The Ontario Federation of Labour just held a convention at which they discussed their strategy for dealing with this same Tory government that we're talking about, the government that created Walkerton, the government that allowed Kimberly Rogers to die in a sweltering attic in Sudbury. The same government that is responsible for street deaths amongst homeless people, the elimination of healthcare services, the attacks on education, all these things. They have just decided that any form of resistance, even modelled on the days of action, is not to be. What they are instead going to do is to get together something called the People's Charter. And what the People's Charter is going to be, and they're setting up these elaborate study groups to put it together, is a kind of a vision of how Ontario should be. A socially just and wonderful Ontario where there's adequate funding for the programs and good labour legislation and all the rest of it. Now, to say we want to get together and discuss what we're aiming for is a very laudable goal. But to do so in a context of saying that actually struggling to implement that in any way is frankly a sick joke. And I don't say that to take a needless swat at the leadership of the trade unions in the province of Ontario. I'm saying it because I think it is a scandalous crisis in a situation of such attack that we are down to a level of such political bankruptcy in the face of that attack. And it isn't just a question of some abstract political difference. It's a question of what's going to happen to people's lives. Because the fact that the Tories are a bunch of evil bastards is a given. The question is, what are we going to do to stop them? The question is, what are we going to do to fight them? What are we going to do to oppose them? And it is an incredibly daunting and horrible prospect to know that the leadership of the most powerful working class organisations have a strategy of doing precisely nothing in the face of that attack. And that's something we can't be silent on. Now, there is another side to the question, and that is over the last number of years, there has emerged a movement of people that do have the perspective of fighting back. And I don't want to romanticise that movement, and I don't want to exaggerate that movement, but I want to say that it's enormously important. We've seen it in some of the anti-globalisation struggles, and many people could make a great deal of very valid criticisms about anti-globalisation struggles and how they've been conducted. But one thing that has come through in all those mobilisations is that we actually see people taking to the streets who have the perspective of disrupting and challenging. And so it's not just another bloody parade, and it's not just another set of the same boring speeches, and it's not a bunch of people with potential power marching off to the suburbs. It's actually people taking them on, it's actually people challenging them, it's actually people fighting back. And In the work of the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty, we've seen the same thing. I mean, the really quite laughable nonsense that's been going around in Belleville with the local MPP issuing statements and all kinds of lurid calls of terrible gatherings and devil worshipping and whatever else, I don't know. But the fact is that we do have a situation where, I'll just speak first about OCAP, we have a situation where an organisation, a poor people's organisation with small resources, with a relatively small membership base, has gone out and tried to organise in a way that we've characterised as fighting to win. And we've reached a situation where they hate us for it. And I'm glad they hate us for it. They should hate us for it. And they're even a little scared of us, and we have to work to make sure that they're not just a little scared, but they're extremely scared. We have to start working on that. June 15th of the year 2000, we marched on the Ontario Legislature to demand the right, nothing more, but the right of a group of people affected by homelessness to address the legislature. And they responded by attacking us, and an enormous confrontation took place on the lawns of Queen's Park. That event was demonised to a degree that was mind-boggling. There was all kinds of media coverage that presented it as the worst thing that ever happened in human history. The police went into a frenzy, arrests were made, all kinds of things happened. But as soon as it happened, what we found was an outpouring of support that was enormous. People were contacting us from everywhere, wanting to know how they could be involved. And from that, we sort of came to the conclusion that if people are prepared to take up a fight and give a lead, then people are ready to follow that lead. But people are sick of going through the motions. People are sick of the rituals of token opposition. People are sick of listening to the same set of people give speeches in front of the legislature and then all going home, realising that really nothing changed. People are looking for a means to actually resist. And so coming out of that, it was possible to propose to a broader movement the notion of a campaign of economic disruption against the Harris government. And in a whole number of communities, people mobilised. But The largest of the events, because people came from everywhere to support it, was the October 16th march into the financial district. Following that march, which had an effect on them that was astounding, that created a situation where people were able, using innovative tactics, to seriously disrupt the workings of the financial district that day. They saw in that, the other side saw in that, something that was very, very threatening. And shortly afterwards, the Mayor of Toronto, the Attorney General of the province, and the Chief of the Toronto Police held a special meeting at Toronto City Hall to discuss how they could put us out of business. Presumably they're still working on it because we're still around. But the point was, I think, that we had arrived at a situation where we'd started to become, to them, a threat. Now, that to me says something enormously important. And I don't say it in a spirit of wanting to boast. The reality is that while we are pointing to an important direction in terms of how to move forward, if a poor people's organisation with no resources is reckoned to be the cutting edge of a movement of resistance to the Tory government, and if a broader mobilisation takes place that is made up largely of high school students, people, of other forces organised outside the workplace that don't have a fraction of the power of what the labour movement has, then I think that's a very, very serious situation. I don't want to keep harping on this theme, but if we talk about October the 16th and what we were able to achieve, can you imagine if the trade unions in this province had decided they were going to throw their weight behind that kind of a mobilisation? What could have been achieved? If a poor people's organisation and a broader formation organised around the Ontario Common Front could create such fear and panic in their ranks that they had to send Christy Blatchford down to cover it and denounce us in such round terms, can you imagine what could have been achieved if in every workplace in this province, if the resources of the labour movement had been organised to build that kind of a campaign? I say quite literally, it would be possible to rapidly move towards a situation where the Tory government's agenda would become unenforceable, where their ability to govern the province would be called into question, and it would be possible to talk in terms of actually defeating them. And I don't mean just simply at the ballot box at the next election, but shutting down the province to the point where they had to get out because they could no longer govern. That would be quite possible, and it could be quite doable. And the fact that it isn't happening in the face of such attack is a scandal that we've got to address and we've got to look at. And I think that's really for us a burning question. I'm afraid I've got beyond the point of trying to be diplomatic in terms of dealings with these people. It's something that we've got to address. Back when the Whitby action happened at Flaherty's office. I'll have to single out one particular Labour leader, a man by the name of Buzz Hargrove. We went into that place, and a group of poor people, affected by the full enormity of the Tory agenda, walked into his office, explained, we delivered to them, actually, something that had been given to us by a man who had just died on the streets. We explained why we were there, what we were going to do. We didn't harm a hair on any of the people in there, but we took the furniture and we threw it out on the streets. After that happened, Buzz Hargrove immediately wrote a letter to James Flaherty saying that the CAW had nothing to do with this and expressing his condolences to James Flaherty. When I was in the Whitby jail following the event, I'm sitting in an 8x10 cell with three other men reading a back copy of the Toronto Star. I come across a report explaining that Hargrove, with other Labour leaders, has just held a meeting with the Tory Labour Minister, Chris Stockwell, in which he assures Stockwell that the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty is going to be defunded by the Canadian auto workers. And I believe that was an appalling thing. An absolute travesty. He could have at least had the decency to wait until people were out of jail before he launched such an attack. And I don't say this just in the spirit of wanting to denounce an individual. The point is that the question is, Not why OCAP went into Flaherty's office and threw some furniture out on the streets. The issue is, how is it that these people can set up offices in communities all across this province where people are dying on the streets, where people are not able to access health care and function as if it was just business as usual? Why is, in fact, it not the case that this doesn't happen to them every day? Why are they not being driven from these offices? They accuse us of being confrontational. I would like to say that the Tories are the teachers and we're the pupils when it comes to being confrontational. The fact is that they've brought misery into people's lives on a scale that's unimaginable. And we, with our meagre resources, are trying to organise the kind of fight back that should be organised on a massive scale. Now, I believe that is going to grow. Because the reality is that the tradition that we represent is a tradition that is long established, of real struggle. It's a tradition that the unemployed movement of the 1930s knew, when they organised the On to Ottawa Trek and many of the other great battles that took place. It's a tradition that was embodied in the labour movement when it was founded and when it was struggling for its existence. The Windsor strike that was organised in 1945 against the Ford Motor Company involved a situation where they built a car blockade around around those plants to prevent the police being able to come in and break up their picket line. Now, there's a sort of a tradition that's emerged that thinks that the thing was a sort of a picnic where a few families came down with their cars and walked away with the keys. It wasn't like that at all. The workers actually organised to commandeer vehicles throughout the entire city and drive them to that spot. In some cases, people were forced to drive their cars to that spot, usually rich people, and the cars were used and taken and formed into a barricade. It was a brutal and a vicious fight that was undertaken, and people really fought in a very, 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 very serious way. And that tradition is still alive in all of us, but it has been to a huge degree suppressed and forgotten. Whenever they want to legitimise their system, they have people that can justify it. When they find themselves under attack around globalisation issues, they can bring out Bob Geldof or some other fool to hold a symposium with murderers and cutthroats from across the world and give them some legitimacy. And when things start to get militant and struggle starts to become real, they've got Buzz Hargrove to come and protect them. And the point is that the tradition of struggle doesn't lie with the bureaucrats. It lies in the ranks of working people, it lies in the ranks of poor people, and I believe that the movement that we're building embodies and revives that tradition. We aren't some bunch of isolated maniacs who have, as somebody has told me recently, no credibility whatsoever. On the contrary, we are proposing a course of action that is absolutely necessary. It is based not on going through the motions of token protest, but it is based on fighting to win, on struggling to win, on finding the means to fight back in a way that can actually stop these people. Because you're never going to... You're never going to build a movement that is dynamic, that is powerful, and that mobilises people on the scale that needs to be mobilised, if you're just bullshitting them. If you're just bringing them to the legislature to listen to empty rhetoric that they don't have any intention of delivering on. But if people know that something is being built that can actually stop this agenda, that actually has power. You know, sometimes people try to counterpose the notion of direct action to mass action. Quite the reverse. You know, do you really think that the great movements of the 1930s and 40s that founded the labour movement would have worked better if instead of occupying the plants they held candlelight vigils outside? I rather doubt it. So let me just say that we're up against huge challenges. We have to start to increase the influence of this emerging movement. We have to start to win within the rank and file of the labour movement real serious support. And it's not going to be done. I'm totally in favour of putting pressure on trade union leaders, and I'm totally in favour certainly even of working with them to the degree that they will cooperate. I'm not posing some ultimistic dream here. But at the same time, our orientation must be to go to the rank and file in the workplaces, in the communities, and say, you are the people under attack, you are the people who must organise, you and the people who must stop this. I believe that we're really now moving into a situation where this retreat that has gone on long enough. It must be stopped. It must be turned around. If we don't want a world that is designed in the corporate boardrooms and implemented by political thugs, then we have to grapple with the question of how we actually organise and how we stop this. I say we need to disrupt their agenda. I say we need to break their system. And above all else, we need a movement that mobilises men and women in this province and across this world to fight to win. Thank you very much.